Imagine there's no Lakers. It's easy if you try. No Boston Celtics to make the Nuggets cry. Imagine we're the champions of the NBA. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one.
Don't turn off, folks. It's not a nightmare. It's Bo Mitchell singing.
I thought I'd start the show today with, come on, Nuggets. It's that time of year. We're in training camp. We're getting ready. Let's win the NBA championship. Imagine that, Bob. Imagine us as champions.
I think Lori's idea of doing Joe Cocker feeling all right might have been a little bit better. But you know what? I love when you sang the song.
Thank you.
You need your piano background, though. You do the whole thing.
It's easy to make
a fool
of yourself when you're like I am.
That's right. Well, we're waking people up. We want them to get going. We want them to laugh a little bit. We want them to be ready for a great show on You Get the Blessing this morning.
And imagine there's no Lakers, no Boston Celtics, no Miami Heat. None of these teams are going to bug us. Come on, Chauncey, you can do this. I've seen you do it. There's no leader in the league like Chauncey Billups. So welcome to the show, folks. You get the blessing. I hope that little musical interlude blessed you today. Proud to make that public that I have written a parody to John Lennon's song, All About the Nuggets.
Oh, that's the song you were trying to sing. There are people that actually tell us that they like the show, and they're always curious what song is going to come on. And this morning, there it was.
That's why a little variety. 200 shows into the deal, I thought, sing one yourself. You're next, by the way.
Okay. All right.
So what we do on this show is bless y'all by introducing you to guests that are just wonderful people. And our guest today is Chris Padbury. Chris, welcome to our program.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks, Bo.
You're a lot more mild, professional, sharp, tuned in, intelligent than especially me. But we're going to ask you to adjust a little and just be with us.
You want me to turn the volume down?
I'm complimenting you. You're who we need. So, folks, we're glad you're listening. All of y'all. We can't name all the names, but we can name Jody and Jim and Marcy and Todd.
Ella and Ernie every Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Has Ernie about both of them, sweet as they can be. They're
right.
Greeters
this
at our
This morning,
church.
If you need someone to hug you and say, God bless you, come to Highline Community Church at 10 o'clock. And Ernie will be out there. The guy is amazing, and you will feel blessed.
Yeah, amen. Happy. I'm not sure he's had a bad day in his entire life.
Oh, I'm sure he has, but boy, Sunday mornings, he's ready to be the man.
Chris, tell us what you do first, and then we're going to backtrack a little bit as to what you did that got you to this point.
Okay.
So, Chris Padbury.
Well, glad to be here. Thanks, gentlemen. I am first and foremost a dad. Can't seem to get away from that job description, no matter what job I'm doing or what I'm doing in life. But
hey, I'm a granddad. They call me Bopaw. It's my favorite.
Bopaw.
So dad's a good thing. How many kids?
It's a good thing. You know, I'm a grandpa too, but I'll get to that later.
Oh.
I have 6 children. I love all my kids. 3 grandchildren as well, all through adoption. And so at one point.
Can you adopt grandkids, you're saying?
No. But if your kids have children, guess
what?
I got you.
You can't adopt grandchildren, but you can give them back.
That's true.
That's what I do. Here, eat this sugar, kids, and go home to your parents and make them crazy like they made me crazy.
That's right.
Six adopted kids. Could you not get pregnant, or what was the deal?
You know, that's part of it. My wife and I were married about 5 years trying to start a family. Wasn't working out naturally. My wife had done some research with Focus on family with their team, looking at Chinese children abandoned every year. About 300,000 kids a year at the time, just left on the street. She said, if we ever adopt, I want to do it through China. So in 1995, we started looking at that closely. And because I really believed that we were going to have a kid that year. In fact, I made a plaque. It said it had her, Chris and Sarah and blank. So there's a step of faith and no pressure on the wife, you know.
You didn't have to name your kid blank when they came, did they?
Well, no, I didn't. Oh, okay. I didn't have to, but the goal was I was going to have a name. So
we can make something funny,
I'm
even
sorry.
Out of abandoned children and adoption. Sorry, Chris. Well, we're just trying to get the listeners engage and adjust to the fact this is as serious a business as there is in the world. So good for you.
It is serious business, but it's fun too. I mean, kids are fun. And when you look in their eyes and play with them, they're fun. And but at the time, we didn't have any. And that's not fun. And when you're a couple who's done everything right, you feel like you've done, lived the kind of the staple way to do things, and comes time to have kids and you can't, you wonder.
And tell me your wife's name again.
Her name is Sarah.
And Sarah said, okay, let's go this way.
Let's go this way. So we started looking at adoption.
Good for her.
And China said, nope, because of the politics at the time. So then we started looking domestically and putting our home study out to agencies around the country, and they said, nope. And so Christmas came and went that year, and we did not have a child. And that was hard. That was hard because my prayer was, Lord, I want to have a lot of kids. I want to have a lot of kids. You know, of course, you know where I am now, but
careful. You overprayed it, man.
Careful what you pray for. That's what God told me later. But come that next January, we realized that what name we need to put on that plaque. And that was, we actually wrote the word Elohim, which is the Hebrew word for God, because he demonstrated to us that if all else fails, he's all we need. And that's the truth. So that was kind of a personal walk, but unfortunately, God still had our request in the hopper and came back to us about mid-January. And we got calls on 8 children in 1 week. We were faced with a different problem of saying no to kids. Now, remember, at the time, we were like, we want kids, we want kids. There's a void in our family. We want kids. But in the background, we knew that there's something else, and that is these. When you're adopting, you're actually meeting a need of this child. You know, this child needs a mom and dad. So in some ways, you're giving your family to a child, and that's actually a healthier way of looking at it. So we had 3 kids in the next 14 months, and our church was pretty spectacular. In Little Rock, Arkansas, we were with the Air Force away from home, and so they were our family. And they supported us, they took care of us, they threw parties for us, they took care of our kids, and they gave us a room full of diapers. Oh. That's like handing somebody a gold brick, you know? So we knew there's something pretty darn special about adoption and the church. There's a confluence there. And when we came to Colorado, our radar was up for a good church, and we heard about Pastor Robert Gelinas at Colorado Community Church, and he is an absolute staunch advocate for children. He shows it. He's adopted several kids himself. And that church is just a real huge magnet for us. And we found that we weren't alone. There's a lot of families doing foster care, a lot of families doing adoption. And over the course of a couple of years, he started hinting to the congregation. He said, I'm going to ask you to do something significant for children and adoption. And you'll know when it is, but just get ready. So one Sunday in late spring of 2004, he gets up on the pulpit and he says, hey, church, guess what I did? And we're like, oh, no. What did he do? He said, I just met with the lieutenant governor, and we had a little talk. And it was Governor Jane Norton at the time. And she said, Pastor, I've got 875 kids I cannot find homes for. This number keeps growing every year. Is there something you can do? And he said, sure. I'll take them all. He said, I'll ask my church to help me out. We'll figure it out, but we'll take them all.
Go big or stay home, as they say.
Yeah. So there's a step of faith for you, you know, and he shares this from the pulpit, and I could have swore I saw guys jumping up and running out the back door, because that's pretty scary, you know? You know,
Big challenge. Hey team,
I've been coaching you for all this time, and now I'm asking you to do something big. Mm. And you know what? I think for a large majority of us in that room, we were just waiting for him to say that. And we knew it was coming. It's kind of like going through spring training, or not spring training, but two-a-days prepping for football season. And then finally the coach says, here's our first game. Get on the field and let's go win. Good. So it's scary. It sure is scary, but...
But you're ready.
We were ready. We were more ready than we realized. So we put together a team and started meeting with... child welfare workers, and we started to understand a couple things. These men and women in our social welfare system, as much heat and criticism as they get, they are making huge decisions for people. they're, you know, these kids are getting it wise on the road and they're saying, go this way and go that way. Man, they sure need our prayers, don't they? I mean, these are people's lives and those decisions will affect them for the rest of their life. So that's one of the things that we started.
I hate that 110,000 kids are out there.
Yes, sir.
Displaced. Is that the word?
Well, in the nation's foster care system, there's roughly about 500,000 children who are in care over the course of a year. Of that, about 110,000 are legally free for adoption. So these are orphan children. Their parental rights have been terminated. The courts have said we have no other solutions. We're looking for a permanent family.
So it's all stopgap until they find a permanent family?
Well, they're
shuffled from.
So they're moving from foster home to foster home or group home or.
How about Jim Daly's story, the new president of Focus on the
Family?
Yeah,
absolutely important.
The president of Focus on the Family.
Absolutely.
Just moved around and has these awful foster care situations.
Yeah, and it has no coincidence, Bo.
Amen.
That he is put in that position
at
this time with that very difficult experience under his belt for him to share that. Because not, think of it this way, he's not just preaching to the adults out there. There are kids out there that need to hear this radio program. They need to hear Jim Daly talk. They need to know that there's hope.
We'll get Daly on here, but you know what? I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. So tell us how this name organization came about, because before we know it, we'll be out of time and we won't be asking people to do what we want them to ask.
Okay.
What we want to ask them to do.
All right. Well, here's the deal. We knew that for some reason, God was calling a lot of people in the pews around not only Denver, but all of Colorado to step forward and adopt kids, but they're all scared, shaking in their seats because of the stories. We also knew that there was a need. So there's a supply and there's a demand, but there's nobody willing to stand in between. And, you know, personally, I've got experience in government and ministry. And
odd
I just
mix, but good for you.
I naturally just fit into that. I said, you know, I know what regulations are. I know what the law is. And I know what the Christians are feeling. Let's speak their language. Let's bring the show to the church. How about that? And I'll tell you what, the state child welfare workers, Sharon Ford and everybody, they were very open to being flexible and just kind of thinking outside the box. So we set up a program called Project 127, which is based off James 127, which defines what real religion is. Mm. It's caring for orphans and widows. Bottom line, if you erase everything else you're doing in church, if you just do that, you're spot on. So the best pastors in the country know that. They just don't know that that's what they're doing when they're taking care of the single moms or they're taking care of kids in child care.
So the verse actually says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans in their distress.
That's it.
Did you pick this name?
Pastor G, he's the visionary. Boy, he comes up with some great names. So we jumped on Project 127 and rolled with that. So it is now causing waves across the country because of the significant work. We are down in the weeds. We've done 27 orientations, brought in about 2,300 people through the door, recruited close to about 460 families. Each family that proceeds and finishes with an adoption has taken almost two kids apiece. So guess what? Hmm. The numbers are not hard. This is not a big problem. And, Rick Valora is the executive director at project127.com. I encourage you to look at that website. But our goal from the beginning was to find a home for every child by 2014. And frankly, that was pretty audacious at the time, but we're going to meet it maybe 2 years early. So,
good for you and good for all the families that may be listening today.
Amen.
That have responded.
Yep.
And good for all those that are all getting ready to respond, because
yes,
you're going to challenge them today.
If you want to put your money in a good place, down in the weeds, that meets the kids face-to-face, that looks at the parents face-to-face and helps them get through the trials and the struggles, then look at Project 127. The state spends $50,000 on every child in foster care every year. And at the end of that year, they have to write the check again.
Okay? Start all over.
They have to start all over. It's crazy. And that's coming out of the taxpayer's pocket. That's your and mine taxes. We can get a child in a home. We can recruit a family for a child for about $5,000 one-time cost. And that's what it costs us to do it. But we do not ask our parents to pay that fee. That's another beautiful thing about the program. Our parents pay $50. $50. And we serve them for an average of 2 years.
And have you had any horror stories? Because there's got to be somebody listening that's really nervous that I'm going to get the one kid that just disrupts whatever family unit is in place right here now.
Yes.
So what happens when something blows sky high?
Here's what happens. The parents have support and the children do not. We must do, and we must try, even if there are horror stories. Not all my adoptions have been beautiful, and I would not have changed it. And I'll tell you what, if you get a chance ever in your life to impact a child, to share Jesus with them, to show them what you think he is, and just love on them, whether you get a minute with your child or whether you get 3 months or whatever, that has a lasting impact. And if a child is not able to trust or accept that, sometimes, yeah, they disrupt out of those situations. But that's a journey that child has to go on. And their story is not over. Mm. They get to grow up and they get to have opportunities. And so we tell all of our parents, there ain't no guarantees in this. But God does not reach for us with any guarantee either. He's insane about us. He does the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Amen.
God is insane about us. So why aren't we willing to take a risk? And at the very heart of the gospel, when it comes down to it, is take care of the least of these. Love one another as you'd have them love you.
So Bob, if you're listening right now and you're scared to death and you're thinking, shoot, the last thing I want to do is go to project127.com. What could you say to them from a standpoint of obedience and inspiration that would light them up? Because I bet there's a few people listening on the fence thinking, well, that might be great and it might be inconvenient. Any words of wisdom?
Well, the scripture is so filled with all of these admonitions to, do good, for one thing, and to all men, as you have the opportunity, and, things like in James, the teaching of Jesus that you talked about in Matthew chapter 25. I think, for a lot of us, fear is a big factor, and even if you, want to, you feel the tug, you want to do something, there's kind of this hurdle of fear to get over. And, I think oftentimes just making the connection with someone like you guys, that you know what you're doing, you got the system in place, you kind of have to reach out and take a little bit of a risk, and go into unknown territory. So, I mean, my encouragement would be that if somebody's listening and they think, maybe I should be looking at this, but there's that fear there. I think that, God would nudge them along to at least reach out and take a chance to make contact, ask about it. What is this really all about? And at least to, take that step. That's the easy step.
So as you guys were exploring, you and Sarah, was was it 50% green light and 50% red light or caution light, or what was the spirit?
Every time we decided about a new child, I was fearful, and I remember I would talk to some other friends, good guys, and I'd tell them all my scary parts and the fears. And I remember one in particular, Cliff, he said, "Okay, Chris, I've heard you. What do you want?" I said, "I want to know what you think." And he goes, "Are you serious? Well, you should go for it. Life is short. God has laid this on your heart. He's put this child in front of your face. He's made the opportunity for you to do it. He's given you an extra bedroom in your house. You've got the support of your family. The church is raring to go. What are you waiting for?"
I said, good.
Oh, boy. And I'll tell you what, it's been a roller coaster ride ever since. I wouldn't do it any different. My kids are great.
Now, in the system you guys have created, what is the interface with the church? Because the church itself plays a role in this, correct?
Yes. The state has allowed us to do all training and all of our events that meet their state requirements, and we are able to do it in the church. Okay. So now people are very comfortable doing it in the church, and we'll do it in any church around the state. We take the show on the road. We bring it to you. And unfortunately, we can only afford to do it 3 times a year now, because we're getting close to 100 to 200 people coming forward that want to adopt kids at each event. It's believable.
It's great.
You can't, you go to a county orientation, they might get 12, 13 people in the room and they'll be lucky to get one or two to commit. We'll get 100 in the room, we get 50 of them to commit. And you know the beauty of it is, we're not even really asking them. They're all ready to go. They just want to be a, they want to be given permission. You know, if you got people around the state that are listening to the show, look at the website and think about those parents as missionaries and encourage them and to say, man, maybe I can't do that, but I could sure, I could help out in some small ways, but not just donating, but you know, we need grandpas, part-time grandmas to come in, aunts and uncles to come and help out. And there's places to do that. And we have family events that we like to put on. We'd love to have a big shindig with all the families. We've been able to do that in the past, but it's very difficult. So we spend all of our money in serving these families because that's all the money God's given us.
So we need money. We need churches.
Church participation and people participation. Yeah,
and then people. So project127.com.
Yes.
And does he look a little bit like Will Ferrell?
All righty. He looks like me.
Does everyone say that?
Yeah.
They do? Because I was sitting there thinking, I love Will Ferrell. Pretty strange characters he plays, but I like what God has made you to be, and I like all these roles you're playing in your life.
Thanks.
And not, that's not the right way to put it. I like all these things you are in your life, so way to go. And thank God himself for... that guy getting in your face and saying that. Is that what we have? Because we do a luncheon every year called Gold Nuggets of Life Luncheon, and I don't want to sell 450 tickets one at a time. So we sort of challenge our guys from Narrowgate Men Group, our Bible study men's group, to fill a table of people you think would like to enjoy this. And the lunch is free. It's at the Pepsi Center on the floor. Great speakers, Rocky, the mascot's usually there, usually a Nuggets player. So I sort of, in my mild way, say to the group of guys what part of us is saying today on this program, which is, you know, if you're not going to do this, if you're not going to accept the challenge to fill a table, to come to a free lunch that's really cool at the Pepsi Center, let's just get it out on the table here and agree that you're probably never going to do anything. It's a sweet, loving way to put it. And guys kind of perk up and take that challenge and think, well, he's right. It requires a little thought, a little effort. And this obviously is a lot more, but we're also saying if you feel that there's a tug here today, do it. It makes life exciting and meaningful and as important as your name says, as anything you can do as a church. This is what we're supposed to be doing.
It is.
So hooray for you.
Yeah.
See yourself doing this the rest of your life?
Oh, I wish I could. It's not a lot of money in it, but I'll tell you what. If I could leave everything I'm doing and just do that full time, I'd do it till I die. And I don't know why.
And why will there continue to be more kids?
Well, there's always abuse and... You know, Westword Magazine's got a big article on Girl Interrupted, and there's so many opportunities for believers to kind of step in when she was a little girl or just befriend her. Or, you know, people look around in your communities. You'll see them, and you can make an impact. You don't need to adopt them. You don't need to even foster necessarily, but you can tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, you want to talk? I mean, we can't be isolating ourselves so much, and it's not far from us. It's not in... a third world country. It's in North Denver. It's in Aurora. And we have an opportunity to empty the foster care system of waiting kids in the state. You realize that has never happened in the history of foster care, ever.
And people normally do think Calcutta, don't they, Bob?
Yeah, you bet. And we were, you know, our good friend, we've done some shows with our good friend Luis Villarreal, who does Save Our Youth, which is mentoring and kind of another way to, you know, step in and help. And I think we've also done Whiz Kids on here, which, you know, so there's a lot of ways to really help. You know, I was thinking, you know, Bo kind of surprised me by asking earlier on the question about Scripture. But, you know, you think I was thinking about that great verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The preceding verses 8 and 9 are sort of these classics on it's by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works that anyone should boast. But then right after that comes this great statement that we're God's workmanship. Mm-hmm. The word actually means we're like his poem. It's mm-hmm. literally the Greek word poema. It's like God has, created us. And then why? We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has created in advance for us to do. So,
absolutely.
I mean, there's people sitting out there that, their purpose in life is that God has really created them to step in and do exactly what you're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And, so if you're feeling that nudge out there, again, we just would encourage you to step up and, make some contact via the website. Would that be like step one?
Yep.
Go to the website.
Go to the website.
Okay.
Project127.com. Okay.
Great.
You'll learn about the history and everything else.
Shall we close with this? Imagine there's no children.
Amen.
Living
all alone.
On their own. Loving, giving parents. All happy, safe at home. You like this at all?
Yeah.
Imagine there's no Lori telling me we're done. We got to go, guys. You know what? Chris Padbury, you are a star. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for
God's
coming
a star.
On
yes.
the show.
God's a star, and you're one of his.
And say hi to Robert. Robert's a friend. I know he's doing a great job out there. So
I'm available to sing, actually, anytime. Yeah. Any of you
fundraising banquet, you might just give Bo a call to come as special music.
Music. Thank you for what you're doing. Project127.com. We need money. We need parents. We need churches. Look it up. Study it. See if the Holy Spirit's inspiring you. Thank you guys for being on the show.
Amen.
See you next week.